Losing somebody you care about is obviously a super difficult thing, but that doesn't just pertain to human, this also can pertain to dogs. So in this week's episode, we're going to talk about loss, we're going to talk about grieving, and it's not going to just be humans losing a dog, it's also going to talk about dogs losing a dog and dogs losing a human. So this is going to be a little bit of a tearjerker, but guys, let's get into it next. Alright guys, welcome to this week's episode. I am Jake from OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. We're an online dog training website, so definitely check us out, OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. We're in the process of putting out courses, webinars. We also do, at this point, we do one-on-ones. You can schedule it straight through our website, so check it out, OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. If you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like help with your dogs, with training, anything like that, you can, like I said, you can schedule one-on-one. So jump over there, check it out, and we look forward to working with you. If you're watching us on YouTube, hello, thank you for joining us. Make sure you like and subscribe to our channel. Like the video, subscribe to our channel, so you get notifications when the next episode comes out. If you are listening to us on podcasts, and basically we're on every podcast form that I think I could think of to get on, thank you guys for listening. We really, really, really appreciate all of it. I will start by saying this episode is one that has been on my mind for probably, I would say about a year. And I just put it off. I put it off not because I don't want to talk about it, but at the same time because it's just a hard conversation to have. You know, it's hard to talk about loss, right? It's hard to talk about, you know, what happens. We have these animals that we love and adore, and really, it becomes hard to imagine life without them, right? They're so ingrained or entrenched into our daily routine, and we have such emotional connections with these animals that it can become really hard to think about, and thus, for me, very difficult at times to talk about. But I feel like it's necessary. You know, I don't want to name names, and I never would do that, but I will say we've had a couple situations lately where we've had clients that have been dealing with loss, and it got me thinking, you know, there's more than just humans losing a dog. There's way more to it. In one situation, there was a dog that lost a human. In another situation, there was a dog that lost a dog. And obviously, we lose our animals and it's devastating too, but we need to think about the impact on those other things. So I'm kind of glad I stalled on talking about this just because I think that it helped me build it a little bit better and expand out. Like, I probably would have just talked about, you know, when dogs lose dogs and where humans lose dogs. But this whole, like, when dogs lose humans things is definitely a big conversation. So we're going to get into that. I'll start by kind of talking about first grieving an animal. I think it's totally natural to grieve. You know, you'll have some people, and I think this is a forever shrinking group of people who will just say, well, it was just a dog, you know, just go get another one. It's just a dog, just whatever, and not have that big of an emotional attachment, or at least not want to outwardly show it. But what I'm seeing more and more, and I know you guys can probably agree to this because you're probably in this camp, is we are allowing ourselves to become more and more connected with dogs and animals in general, just animals in general. But obviously, this is a dog show, so we'll be talking about dogs. So we allow ourselves to get more connected. And yeah, we might throw, you know, human traits into our dogs. And at times, man, it sure seems like they are sometimes just very furry humans. I understand they are dogs, and that's just what it is. But, you know, the connection that we are now establishing with our animals makes when we lose them that much more hard. So I'll tell you this right now. If you are dealing with loss of a dog, or if that's coming, I mean, it's coming for anybody who owns a dog. That's just inevitable. But understand, it is okay to be sad. It is okay to grieve. Hell, I think it's okay to, you know, if something happens to your dog, take a day or two off work or whatever you have to do. Understand that we can't dictate to a degree. We can't dictate what we're sad about. You know, our emotions are our emotions. And if you had that bond and that connection with your dog, you're going to grieve like a loss, like you lost a person, because that's just what it is. So don't feel bad there. Don't feel like you have to like just push through it. It's okay to grieve and be sad. Now, we're going to be talking about the three different situations, like I mentioned before, about loss and kind of things we can do to sort of help through that. They're all very similar, but I think they're all worth talking about. But the first thing I'll talk about is I will talk about my story with loss. You know, me and my wife moved out and we're living together and everything, we've had three dogs now that have been with us that are, you know, one that's still with us, Luda, and then two that we have lost. Now, the loss of Copper, our Basset Hound, was hard, but he also was like 12 years old. It was expected. We saw it kind of coming. You could see him starting to just kind of get sore and slow down and different things. And then, you know, not 100% sure, but it could have been cancer at that age. And that's very common. And that's what took him. And you know, it was sad, but it was sort of one of those things where it was like, yeah, you know what? We had a long life together, buddy. He was my ride or die dog, where it was just like, he defended me. I had a golden retriever years and years ago that turned out to be a really good client of ours for a while till she eventually passed away of old age. A really good client of ours, but he actually protected us, or tried to protect me. This dog at 6 months old was trying to attack me, in the yard. And it was just a dog just being a complete adolescent. It wasn't like nasty, crazy, whatever, but he tried to come over cause he saw dad. You know, he thought dad was getting attacked or a dog was trying to attack dad. And so he came over and tried to defend me, and I was doing my best to push him away while still holding on to this dog. And so like after that, it was just like our bond grew. I was like, this dog's got my back, even though he's a Basset Hound. And you don't really think of that. But when we lost him, you know, I was sad, but it wasn't as much of a hit to me as our first Malinois while we had Cato. I'll try to make this story short, but I want you to understand that when I talk about grieving, I come from a place of understanding. Not only through experiences with clients, but just experiences with my own personal dogs. So Cato, and if you're ever wondering, Cato is the dog up in these pictures here, and then Cato is the reason why I have this sweatshirt. I'll explain that in a second, but he's the dog that's up in those pictures. It's a poster that a close friend of mine put together that was absolutely, it meant a lot to me that she did this for me. But Cato was a Malinois, and he was a special working dog for sure. Like the sport stuff we did, he was amazing at it. He took after his father that I had the privilege of training before that, which is why we got him. And I trained him. We competed. We got to the highest level in the U.S. and we decided, hey, you know what? Let's try to get to the highest level in Europe as well. Like, let's go worlds, right? And so he went to the world competition, and that was over, like I said, that's where the shirt comes from. It was over in Italy. We traveled to Italy, and I competed with him there, and I think he did well. I mean, he didn't win or anything like that, but I think the experience and everything was just amazing. And all the different things, like my wife did obedience stuff with him, and he just had this really big, full life that he had been living. And looking back now, I'm absolutely glad we did it, because about a week after we got home from Italy, Luda was just under 4.5, or Cato was just under 4.5 years old. He developed a lump on his shoulder, and we didn't know what it was. We thought maybe it was an injury from the trial. We weren't 100% sure, but it was hard, and that was super concerning. And we brought him to the vet, and they did their tests and everything, and what it came back is cancer. He had bone cancer. And we had a lot of options. What they said was risky, but it could possibly work, was amputating his leg. And, you know, he's 4.5, so he would be very, very, very easily could recover from this and live a long life. Their concern was the margins and the cancer. Could they remove the cancer completely to where it's just gone? And that was a super big risk. And it was a risk we were willing to take, because at 4.5, we felt like this dog was maybe a third of the way through his life, and he was our child, basically. Like, this dog was our baby. Like, he was an awesome working dog. He was an awesome house dog, and we were not prepared yet to lose him. And so we did the amputation. We went through all of the, I mean, me and Jenny were doing switch offs, you know, shifts, basically. Like, she'd sleep some during, or I'd sleep some during the day, or whatever, vice versa, whatever it'd be. But we'd be doing these shifts where, like, I'd be taking care of Cato and she'd be going to sleep, and then we'd switch off. And we got him through the surgery. We got him through recovery. It was easily $10,000 in expenses, and it was totally worth it to give this dog a chance, because he had been such an awesome dog for us that we just needed to try and do this for him. And we went through the rehab, and he started one round of chemo, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's finally starting to get his amputation healed up, and everything's going well. And that was in October that he had the surgery. Maybe early November, but I'm thinking it was more October. And before we know it, suddenly he's starting to lose the ability to walk in his back end. And we brought him back to the vet that did x-rays, and it came out that the cancer, they didn't get all the cancer out of his shoulder, and it spread into his lungs, and it was also in his spine, which is why he wasn't really able to walk. And what ended up happening is just right before Christmas, we ended up having to put him down because he couldn't walk on his own. There was no way of recovering from it. We were trying meds to see if we could do stuff with it to continue his chemo, and it was too far spread. And so, unfortunately, we lost him, and that was an absolutely heartbreaking experience for us. You know, he put up a big fight. We put up a big fight, and as you guys know from probably personal experience, unfortunately, a lot of times cancer wins, and cancer sucks, to put it lightly. And so he didn't make it. I wouldn't change anything. Well, I guess I could say if I knew the outcome would have been the same, I probably wouldn't have done the surgery, but there was a chance that he was going to be able to live a full life, and I needed to try and give that to him. But you don't know, and we try. And like I said, it was absolutely devastating. So that was our experience. I'm not even going to lie, and we'll get into this later on. It took us a year and a half. We still had Copper, our basset hound, at the time. It took us a year and a half to finally feel ready enough to introduce another puppy to our house. Like, that's how big of a blow it was. So I want you to understand that what I'm going to talk about today comes from a place of understanding. I've dealt with traumatic loss in the sense of that. Another quick story of a childhood loss that I had to deal with was, we had a litter of basset hound puppies growing up, and they were about 8 weeks old. A couple went to the other homes already, and we were bringing them to the park for some socializing. And my dad was driving, I was the passenger, and somebody ran a red light and hit us, T-boned us hard on, I believe it was my dad's side. He was driving. So on the driver's side, hit us, spun us around. And we had all the puppies kenneled, but the back window shattered and the kennel went flying out the window. We ended up losing, I think, all but one puppy from that. And that was, we were going to be, one of them was my dog that we were keeping. And so to go through that experience, absolute tragic, traumatic loss again, it's just not easy. But fortunately, there are some things that we can do. And so I wanted to talk about that. The first thing I want to talk about is the dog to dog. So what happens when a dog loses another dog? So in some cases, honestly, nothing. It really depends on the relationship you have with that your dog has with the other dog. If they coexist, but there's really no relationship there, you probably won't see a whole lot. You might see a little bit because, yeah, the hierarchy might shift and change. Because maybe what if the alpha dog, the dog that was above the other dog, passes away? Suddenly now there's a vacancy, and so there can be some things shifting with that, and that's totally understandable. But what about dogs that are close? You know, that's something we need to talk about. Like, the thing with dogs, what I really like about dogs is they can recover quickly, whether it be from a loss, from an injury, from whatever. They do tend to recover quickly. But that does not mean that they don't grieve. Doesn't mean they're not sad. They're not confused. They're not, you know, they don't understand, like, where's my friend, right? Why is my friend gone? And that's totally natural. And unfortunately, we can't explain it to them. But what we can do is we can help them. We can help them through playing with them, trying to keep up on the same schedule. You know, like, don't completely, and this is something I think sometimes is good for us as we are mourning the loss of that same dog that dog is mourning, is we want to stick on the same schedule because that's still something that you and the dog that's still there can do. You can work together. You can get through it together. Hey, we're going to go on our walks like we've done every day, even though the other dog's not there. Hey, we're going to have our couch time. Hey, we're gonna do our training. We're going to do whatever. Maybe it means you slightly increase some of those things because as people, and I think it's the same as dogs, distractions help you overcome the grief and help you kind of move past things. If you just sit and let it fester and just like soak in, it can really drag you down. And it'll drag dogs down. Dogs will deal with depression just like people can deal with depression. You know, you'll see the dog looking for your other dog. You'll see the dog going to where your dog usually sleeps. It's really sad, but it's part of the problem or part of the process, I should say, of all of this. So you want to keep yourself or keep your dog busy. Introducing new fun skills to your dog. So maybe like, hey, you know, now that, you know, we have to keep ourselves busy. So why don't we go and learn a new sport? Let's go do nose work. Let's go do something like that. And it allows you to kind of dive into something to kind of distract yourself from the loss of the other dog. And I say distract, but it's not like we forget. It just kind of helps you forget temporarily. When you're focused on that thing, your brain's not going off to the other dog. But it's the same with the dog. Like, you want to do that same thing with the dog. You want that your dog to be like just in the moment, enjoying it, and not really thinking about where the other dog is. Some things you might notice with your dog as they go through kind of the process of like grieving or depression more, I figure is like a loss of appetite. I think loss of appetite comes in twofold. One could be the dog is just sad. Actually, it could be three different reasons. One, the dog could just be sad that their friend is gone. They don't know why, but their friend is gone. Secondly, there's no competition, right? There's no competition for resources. So now the dog doesn't feel like they have to scarf their food or eat their food quite as much because there's no one there to take it. And third is energy output. Maybe your two dogs were playing so much, they were burning significantly more calories, which is why I say you need to do the same or slightly increase how you play with your dog to kind of match that energy output, that calorie burn. But maybe your dog's just not burning off as much calories and just isn't as hungry. You know, so that could be some reasons. You might see weight loss. Stress, anxiety, obviously lack of eating will lead to weight loss. Lack of energy. When dogs are sad, depressed, just like when humans are sad and depressed, they just don't feel like doing things. And that can definitely happen with this. The listlessness or like clinginess. Now, the clinginess, the dog is looking for comfort. The dog is looking for something. Like usually, let's say usually your dogs lie together at night. So you have, they're always in contact with each other. Well, now they're not, now that dog doesn't have that other dog to contact, so now they come to you. And that's okay. That's okay. It just something you kind of want to be aware of. And so like I said, you stick to your regular routines as best you can. You can spend a little extra time together with your dog. I think that's a really good thing to do. You can give them extra attention, extra touching, extra petting. Now that, you know, one dog's gone, you're going to have a little bit more time to be able to devote for that attention. play their favorite games and increase those activities. Something I would recommend you do not do with your dog is do not start to go, okay, well, I'm going to let you sleep out of your kennel. You're normally kennel trained or something. I'm going to let you sleep with me. You're going to be able to follow me around. I'm going to let you go into the bathroom with me. Because what you could be also creating is separation anxiety issues. So you still want to treat your dog like a dog. You still want to treat your dog like you normally would, with just the idea of we're going to move on. We're going to move on together and we're going to, you know, get this energy out and do these things. But don't go so overboard with trying to console your dog that you create a new issue. Your dog finally moves on from the depression, anxiety stuff, or the sadness and stuff, and starts getting into its new routine. But now you have a new problem with that anxiety. So be really careful with that. The next one is dog to human. So, like I said, I have a client who just recently had to deal with this, and I absolutely just, my heart goes out to them because it's just sad. It's absolutely sad. And dogs just don't understand, you know, when someone's gone, they're like, yeah, they're gone, they'll be back. But they don't understand why the person doesn't come back. Like, you can't explain death to a dog. They just don't get it, obviously. So again, I think the stuff with it, I think is just, it's fair to just go, you know, we're going to continue on, even though I'm seeing some physical symptoms, you're changing some behaviors, things like that. We're going to stick with our routine, and you can try. So if you knew, like let's say the dog's main person passes away, and you could say passes away, or even in this case, like if a couple is divorced and suddenly one of the main people in this dog's life is no longer in it, like to the dog, there's no difference. This can be the same. You want to kind of go, okay, what was the routine with this dog when this other person was around? And try to match it as best you can. Try to take over that role as best you can. Now, what I like to do is I try to stick with, this is what we normally do, right? And you can do this with dog to dog or you know, or dog to human losses, either one. I try to stick with what our normal routine is. And then if it needs to change, if the routine needs to change, I try to do it slowly over time, as opposed to just going, well, we're not doing this anymore because I don't want to, or because, you know, I only have one dog and whatever. I try to do it slowly over time, because if you change too many things too fast and the dog is already experiencing the biggest change, which is that other dog or human not being there anymore, that could really throw a dog into a loop and could create a lot of problems. So you just want to kind of be careful with that. The other thing then is the last one here is human to dog loss. So us losing our animals. A lot of the advice I gave you, and this doesn't matter if you have other dogs or if you don't have other dogs. Like if you lost a dog and you no longer have a dog, your house can suddenly become very lack of energy, right? It's different. Things change. Like when we lost Cato, we still had Copper, but Copper was about a 7-year-old basset hound at that time, I believe. And he's a basset hound. He was laid back. He was lazy. So his energy was already really low. And Cato's energy, it was filling up the whole room. He was a great dog. And he just had a lot of energy. Well, when that was gone, there was a void. Like, I know when Luda goes, there's going to be a huge void in energy. And so we need to distract ourselves a little bit. And that might mean, you know, going out and doing different hobbies. It might mean talking to people. I mean, people go to counseling, and I'm fine with that. If that's what helps get you over the grieving process or gets you through the grieving process, I'm totally fine with counseling. Go see a therapist. It doesn't really matter. Like, sadness is sadness. Grieving is grieving. You shouldn't feel guilty or stupid about like going to see a therapist just because of a dog. I absolutely would maybe consider it. The one big piece of advice I will give you when you lose an animal, this is my personal opinion, and if you don't want to follow this, that is fine. Don't rush in to replace. And I hate the word replace because these animals are irreplaceable. But it's the only one I could think of. Don't be in a hurry to replace that dog. I know a lot of people, personally, I know a lot of people that when their dog dies, they tend to be very quick to fill that void. And what that does is a few different things. First thing it does is it doesn't give you, I don't think, adequate time to vet out and process where you're getting your dog from, whether it's a rescue or if you're getting a puppy from a breeder. You're in such a hurry to fill that void that you just kind of get whatever, right? You're like, well, this is probably okay, and you're just not doing your due diligence quite enough. But the big thing I think when it comes to this is these. When you get a dog to fill a void from another dog, I don't think it's fair to the new dog coming in. What I mean by that is when we haven't fully grieved or worked through our sadness of the loss of our other dog, we're going to be comparing this new dog to that dog. We're going to get frustrated because our last dog never did that. And we already say that enough when we're not grieving with dogs. But when you're grieving and you're still sad, you're going to be like, I got this dog to replace my other dog. And this dog's not living up to it, at least not yet. But if it's a puppy, obviously you have to give it a chance. Well, any dog, you have to give a chance. But you're going to be comparing it to the other dog a ton. Also, are you prepared emotionally? Like, you lost a part of you. Like, if when Ludwig dies and when Cato died, they take a part of you with them every single time. And so, are you ready to give a part of you again to another dog? Are you mentally prepared for that? Emotionally prepared for that? I think a lot of people aren't. But I think a lot of people say, well, I just need a new project. I need this new dog. I need this thing to focus on, which if it works for you, cool. But I would be very hesitant and very cautious. Like I said earlier, it took us a year and a half before we finally decided on a breeder. And then it all worked out and we got Luda. And we don't regret taking that time to find the right dog and to allow ourselves to grieve Cato. I think out of respect for Cato, we wanted to grieve him, remember him, and just feel good about going to the next step. So don't feel like you have to be rushed into getting another dog. You don't. You don't. And if you have, guys, if you have any questions, if you have anything coming up you need help with, like I said, we do one-on-one stuff, and I am not a grief counselor by any mean, but if you need to talk through something, if you need advice on getting a new dog, if you need advice on if getting a new dog right now is right for you, schedule a one-on-one with us. Let's talk. We're willing to work. And I understand these topics are hard. And I understand, I would totally understand if this podcast or this YouTube video isn't very popular, just because this is a hard conversation to have. It is difficult to talk about. But the bottom line with all of this is try to stay on track with what you're doing. Don't allow your dog, don't allow yourself to fall into a depression that's going to just affect everything. Try to stay positive. Try to work with the other dog if you have one. If you don't have one, you can start to look into, hey, well, I know down the road I'm going to want another dog. I did this when Cato died. I said, you know what? I know down the road I'm going to want another one. I'm going to start looking now. And then, like I said, a year and a half later, there's Luda. Because again, I don't want to wait until I'm totally like done grieving and be like, okay, time to start the process now. I'm going to go look and then get a dog really quick. I like to take my time when I get a dog, make sure it's the right fit, make sure the breeder's the right fit or whatever. So guys, I really hope this was helpful. I really hope you understand that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to take some time off, whether it's work or whatever, to grieve the loss of your animal, just because it's sad, right? And it's okay for your dog to be down a little bit for a little while. But it's your job to like be like, hey, let's pick you up. Let's get you outside. Let's play these games. Let's have some fun. And dogs are really good at bouncing back. I think they're better than us. And so it can happen, and it can happen quickly. But just get them on that same routine they were on, or keep them on the same routine. And just help them out that way. Help yourself out with that as well. So guys, thank you very much for listening. I'm glad that I decided to finally talk about this one. It's been one, like I said, I've wanted to for a long time, and just have been putting it off because there's other episodes that are way funner to talk about than losing an animal. But anyways, that is it, guys, for this week. I hope this was helpful for you. Hopefully you learned something. And if you know anybody in your life that is going through this or might be going through it soon, send them this video, shoot them this podcast, let them see it, talk with them, let them know it's okay. And guys, we'll see you next week.